think Maddie's still coming. She's
President Elias, like to take roll? Commissioner Scott will join us shortly. Commissioner Leung?
Here.
Commissioner Clay?
Present.
Commissioner Benedicto?
Present.
Commissioner Yanez is excused. Commissioner Yee?
Here.
President Elias, you have a quorum. Also with us tonight, we have Chief Scott from the San Francisco Police Department and Executive Director Paul Henderson from the Department of Police Accountability.
Great. Thank you. Call the first item.
Line item one, weekly officer recognition certificate. Presentation of an officer who has gone above and beyond in the performance of their duties. Officer Raymond Ortiz, star number 4189, CSI Forensic Services.
Mark Powell, Forensic Services Director. I have the honor of recognizing Officer Ray Ortiz.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Sorry. Yeah, there. Yeah, how's it going to say?
So Officer Ortiz has been with us in the department for 22 years, 12 of which has been with CSI. He continuously goes above and beyond the call of what's required in CSI. He helps us with our scheduling. He helps us with our payroll. He helps us with ordering. He's the first to volunteer for backfill or for on-call shifts. He also volunteers, at this point with his service, he could do a day shift, but he chooses to stay on the swing shift, which is where we get most of our major scenes. So he's very good at processing those. And he's just like a good team player as well. And that's kind of exemplified by a recent major scene that he processed with his partner and another member of the team, where it was several rooftops and buildings. It took them many, many hours to process the scene. And because of a response to the scene, there was residual tear gas present. So collecting evidence, documenting, photographing, all while being exposed to residual tear gas, which led to a 30-page report documenting all the work he did. So his understanding of the CSI process and his attention to detail and commitment is why we're honoring him and recognizing him. So with that, the Officer of the Week, in recognition of your dedication and professionalism demonstrated through outstanding community policing practice and inspiring greatness by exemplifying the ideals of police officers as guardians of our community, such an example of dedication is worthy of the highest esteem by the City and County of San Francisco and the San Francisco Police Department.
Yes, we're not going to let you off the hook that easily.
Let's try.
Yeah. Welcome. Okay. Congratulations. Well,
thank you.
I want to give you an opportunity to say a few words before we inundate you with comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. First, I want to say good evening, Chief, and members of the commission. Also, fellow police officers here, command staff. Thank you for the acknowledgement. It's an honor to be acknowledged for doing my job. In a time where, you know, the police, being a cop isn't the most favorable job for out there right now. I'm hoping that's going to change, and I kind of see that, you know, changing down the line. I've been in the department for 22 years, and I still love what I do from day one. Still love what I do, even more than the unit that I'm in. I work with great people, and I think this is great that the board acknowledges, you know, everyone in the department. I hope everybody in the department gets to come through here at least once in their career and be acknowledged. I think it's awesome. And thank you. That's it.
Well, I want to thank you for not only your dedication and your service, but I think there were several adjectives that were used that are really important. And I think you touched on it as well. I think the first thing that needs to be acknowledged is the fact that your colleagues are here to support you, because it's hard to find colleagues who support and really make your job as great as it is. And so when you have that, you're very lucky. And the fact that that's the first thing you acknowledge, I think speaks volumes to your character and what type of colleague you yourself are. So I can see why they nominated you. Things like being a team player, detailed commitment, and more importantly, working the swing shift, I think are all things that need to be recognized and acknowledged. And you've been doing it for 22 years, and your first or in your commentary, you say that you still love your job, which is very admirable, because there are days that people don't love their job and they've done it far less than 22 years. But the fact that you love it and you can just see your pride and joy as you talk about your job and your colleagues is very telling. So congratulations to you and to your colleagues for having such an amazing colleague here being honored today. And thank you for supporting him. So I'm going to turn over to the chief.
Thank you, President Elias. Officer Ortiz, and to the whole team, and Director Powell, thank you for your work. I mean, as a former investigator, I know how the relationship between crime scene investigators and investigators and patrol officers, it's a special relationship. And the work that you all do can make or break a case, and more often than not, you're making the case. And it is really doesn't get the credit that it deserves, because you don't see in the headlines that CSI did this or did the other thing that actually made this case come together. But I'm just thankful for your work, and thankful for the commission and for Director Powell for nominating you for this weekly Officer of the Month Award, because your work is critically important to our mission and to the people of the city. So thank you for what you do what you've done for 22 years. Just know that you are seen and you are appreciated.
Thank you very much.
And your team as well.
Thank you.
Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you so much, President Elias. Thank you, Director Powell, for selecting Officer Ortiz for this recognition. I'll echo what President Elias said. Thank you for your commitment and your dedication and all the various traits that Director Powell stated. I think, as the chief said, it's I think a lot of people in our city don't know the breadth of the duties that our department does, both civilian and sworn. I think it's a great way to highlight the tremendous folks that do the great work. I'll encourage our new commissioners. Director Powell has an open invitation to tour the lab, and I think a lot of us have gotten a chance to do it. It's a really tremendous facility. I did that late last year. I was able to. I think it might be nicer than headquarters. It might be the nicest SFPD building I've ever been in.
No wonder he's smiling. I'm so happy.
I'm telling you, it is nice. I was saying that the HQ must be jealous that it's both nicer and not plagued with Warriors and Giants traffic. So.
And you were at 850 before, right?
Right.
So that's
major
a huge
change.
Huge upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So I would encourage our new commissioners to take up Dr. Powell on that offer. I also want to recognize that I'm so glad that your colleagues are here to support you. I think it's one of my I love that we do this recognition. I think one great thing is when you have colleagues and friends and family here as well. Can we have the members of your team stand up and be recognized as well, please? Congratulations again. Thank you.
See, they're never going to come again. Great job, Kevin. Commissioner Clay.
Thank you, Madam President. Your dedication and commitment to what you do is very special. The fact that you continue to do it day in and day out. CSI is essential service to law enforcement all over this country. And here we're special because we have San Francisco. And you've been there for 22 years, 12 years doing this. And like you say, your colleagues here today, they support you. The fact is, you can't be absent, because if you are, nobody else is going to be able to know what to do, because you got scheduling and all these things that you do. That's real dedication. And we love to see that, because that's what's important. You love your job. And when you love your job and you can put out and you affect other people because they see you loving it, it makes them better people and want them to do the same. So we salute you today. And
thank
congratulations.
Thank
that you're
you
doing
much.
The good work that you're doing.
Thank
okay.
You. All right. Appreciate it.
Commissioner
thank
Yee.
You.
Thank you very much, President Cindy Elias. Also want to congratulate Officer Raymond Ortiz and also Director Powell for putting forward an excellent candidate. And want to recognize your outstanding work over at the CSI in San Francisco. Hopefully we can get one of the major studios to carry a San Francisco CSI program for your outstanding work here. I know it's a world-class lab there, and I've been there, and it's like Cindy said and Kevin Benedicto, it's absolutely sparkling clean. So there's no, I guess, issues about,
what you guys do out there. So congratulations again. Hope to see you on one of these major studios that you broadcast, and then maybe the chief there coming in on a standby. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wasn't Supervisor Dorsey trying to float that, selling a pilot project to the studio? So see, yes. There's still hope. There's still hope.
Well, we had the street of San Francisco, and why not?
Oh, I saw that.
CSI of San Francisco.
You're way too young for that.
No, I know, but my husband, who's a native, said this was the show, so I watched it. I watched it. It looked very different. The city looked very different. But yeah, Commissioner Scott.
Yes, I just want to say congratulations to you, Officer Ortiz, and is it Director Powell? Yes. And all your colleagues that's out there to come to work every day and to love your job, particularly in the field of crime and solving it, cases, that is powerful. That is commendable in the years that you have done it. I feel very hopeful. Being a survivor of violence with people like you and your staff and your team that comes to work every day dedicated to this, to, you know, solving crime in the forensic labs and all of that. And yes, we would love to have a CSI here. It would be awesome. With you leading the role, how about that?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, congratulations and thank you so much for your service, and thank all of you out there as well.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on, there's pictures coming. Wait a minute, you got the chief coming around here.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item one, the weekly officer recognition, please approach the podium. And there is no public comment. Line item two. At this time, the public is now welcome to address the commission for up to 2 minutes on items that do not appear on tonight's agenda but are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the police commission. Under police commission rules of order, during public comment, neither police or DPA personnel nor commissioners are required to respond to questions by the public but may provide a brief response. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in either of the following ways. Email the secretary of the police commission at sapd.commission@sfgov.org, or written comments may be sent via U.S. Postal Service to the public safety building located at 1245 3rd Street, San Francisco, California, 94158. Additionally, the Police Commission website has a page titled DGOs currently being worked on before the Police Commission, where the public can access SAPD's public comment form to leave comment on the following DGOs: DGO 508, non-uniformed officers; DGO 5.20, the language access services for limited English proficient individuals. And the district boundaries report is still posted under commission announcements until May 20th for public comment. If you'd like to make public comment, please approach the podium.
Okay. Good evening, Police Commission, Chief of Police Scott. For the record, my name is Christopher Klein, and previously I told you I also go by Sergeant Klein of the United States Marine Corps. I'm going to read a brief portion of an email that I sent to Assistant Chief David Lazar and Sheriff Miyamoto earlier today, and other community leaders and political leaders. When war breaks out in your town, previously or in the future, the first thing you are supposed to do is ask, is it health surveillance, research surveillance, gang or police surveillance, or jail surveillance? If you can believe the parties you are asking, then it must be military surveillance. So tonight I'm asking for both, I asked for both of them to meet with Chief Scott and support the charges of the individuals named, and to turn off the systems of surveillance war that we are currently in. I'm also asking to convene a Justice Council meeting immediately to discuss this. And if you look at this, we found this here in the city. It's not the only city that's doing research on bipolar disorders. It's Democratic universities, Republican universities that are putting people on surveillance to get them mad at the other side. We know this. We have troops down in the Caribbean right now. We don't want to invade another country. We are trying to get peace here faster. We want peace. We do not want war. But there are troops being deployed right now. And some of it goes back to people in San Francisco. So please convene the Justice Council meeting. I think the police commission should be part of that meeting as well. And good luck with this. It had happened before, and it will happen again. Nobody likes it. I mean, they're just people get greedy, and they want to make money off of research and medicine and things like that. So please convene the meetings and help us prevent a war. Pray for peace and pray for our safe return.
That is the end of public comment. Line item 3, consent calendar, receive and file, action. Luncheon donation for the Vehicle Theft Abatement Awards from the California State Automotive Association, valued at $9,851.84, and SAPD's and DPA's SB 1421 and SB 16 month report from March 2025.
Get a motion. Second.
Motion to receive and file.
All right, so I'll second.
Any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding the consent calendar, item number 3, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. On the motion, Commissioner Scott, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott is yes. Commissioner Leung?
Yes.
Commissioner Leung is yes. Commissioner Clay?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. And President Elias?
Yes.
President Elias is yes. You have 6 yeses. All right, we're going to take one line item out of order. We are going to take line item 5 next. Line item 5 is DPA Director's Report Discussion, a report on recent DPA activities and announcements. Executive Director Henderson.
Thank you. So I have a couple of things. Thank you for allowing me to go out of order. I have another event that I have to go, I'm going to be called to. But there's some stuff that I wanted to do a deep dive into just to clarify before I give the full report. And this is just in reference to the case X, the cases that are over 270 days. I did do a deep dive and just wanted to give you all of that information in addition to my report. Took the opportunity to emphasize our overall improvement in those cases, specifically with 270 days. Most of that information comes in the annual report, where if you're paying attention to those trends, you'll be able to notice that we've reduced the number of cases exceeding the 270-day mark from an average of 6 in 2023 to an average of just 2 in 2025. Again, just for context, we have not, since I've taken over in DPA, had any cases that have gone beyond the 3304 cases, and the 270-day mark is an indication of cases that whose investigations typically take longer than the 8 or 9 months before we can close them out. Specifically for the case that you've asked for, President, I'm just referencing as case X, just to give it a name. What we found in that case was you wanted more of the specifics, and that was a case that was a policy failure. Policy failure cases are not subject to the same 3304 deadline internally, which doesn't mean that we don't do as much work. And then in that case and in all others, including when it's a policy failure, we interviewed the police department subject matter expert. We collected all of the relevant evidence, and we interviewed the officer that were indicated in the case that came in. We determined after that the case was not sustainable, and what typically happens in non-sustainable cases that are going to be policy failures, those cases are deprioritized for closing so we can shift our focus instead to sustain investigations that are approaching the 270-day deadline that has to be reported and are reported here weekly. If a case is sustainable, it would have closed sooner. If that case had been sustainable, it would have closed sooner. But it's also would have been entitled, that case, case X, would have been entitled to additional time for multiple officer exceptions under California Government Code 3304D2. In that case specifically, there were 3 named officers. There were also 6 witness officers and an additional 6 supplemental reports for the case. As I mentioned in the last case, and I'm not sure if this was the area that you had more questions about, but that was a case that also had document delays. So in the first instance, SFPD had requested an extension request and then later provided the documents. After DPA interviewed one of the named 3 officers, DPA requested additional documents from SFPD Legal. We did not receive those documents, and we sent noncompliance letters. And I'm only flagging that because we do have a protocol for this already in place, and that's our document protocol report.
in general, when we have those cases, they also get reported and turned in and are in our quarterly reports as well. If you look back into those quarterly reports, this case is included. We've seen a delay, we've seen a decrease in those delays for document production over the past few years. The Q4 2024 document protocol report we submitted to the commission showed a notable increase in noncompliance of document requests. So the first three quarters of the year, SFDP, the department was late returning approximately 6.5% of all DPA requests. But in that fourth quarter, that number jumped up to 17%, and this case was in that report that was turned in. That report went into the consent calendar, and that may be why we didn't discuss it, but it was tracked. I'm just giving you all the information rather than less. Again, with all of that information, we still have not come, we still have not had any 3304 cases where we would lose jurisdiction over the case and have it finished timely with the department and with the commission. And so there was a lot of information, but since when I started digging, I wasn't sure what exactly you were looking for, so I wanted to get all of the information. I think, you know, the I presume that the document protocol would be an issue in terms of noncompliance and late disclosures, but that's also partially why we include it in the quarterly reports that come in every quarter, so you can see what the exact number is, and this case was one of those cases.
Clarifying question, do you have a knowledge as to why the fourth quarter almost tripled in terms of the delay? You go from 6.5% to 17%?
Not specifically. I don't have a specific answer to why there were more delays for document production during that quarter, but there were more, and it's tracked exactly. I mean, those are the right exact numbers. That's why I did the percentages as well, to show you the jumps that just took place then.
Okay. Do you anticipate that 17% dropping for first quarter 2025?
I do anticipate it dropping, but I also had a conversation with the chief about these results before we had this commission as well, confirming our protocols in these areas. But there will never be an occasion where you won't know about them because they get reported in that specific report. I just don't know if they've been tied or we've had this conversation publicly about the connection to both the 270-day report and 3304 deadlines in context of what the drilled down causes can be and what they have been as reported from us.
Chief, do you have a sense as to why it jumped almost three times?
Oh, I can tell you, I can tell you that what the trends have been, a lot of normally are delays, body-worn camera requests and those types of things. So I'll have to look into that particular quarter, and I can give trends, and I can update you if the commission is okay with this next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
I will also say I can have an offline conversation with the chief on case X specifically to see if that was an anomaly or something that was reflective of other cases during that time period.
I think that's a good idea because I know we spent a lot of time and a lot of months going over the protocols to ensure, because this was a huge issue between the department and DPA in terms of getting documents over to DPA and just having that free-flowing information, which I think is helpful for you to move your cases and helpful for the chief in terms of getting, figuring out where the backlog and sort of bottleneck is. So
I will flag that, what you just said, because I think it's really important. And I think it opens the door to even bigger fixes, specifically with the technology, because these are issues, to the degree they're issues where there's no ambiguity as to whether or not we're entitled to the information. I think technology can be part of those solutions where if there's just a standard operations where documents can be turned over or data can be turned over, I like to refer to it as data rather than documents, that may be one of the faster solutions as well. We just need to be intentional, I think, about identifying what kind of information doesn't need to go back and forth with letters or emails about now we're requesting this, this hasn't been turned in, it's going into this report. If we can fix it in the front end so that the new benchmark or whatever systems are being used we can either get access to or priority to have the information might be an easier solution. I know we're doing a deep dive in this, but I just wanted to explain all of it.
I think that's helpful. So you can touch base and then report your findings to Commissioner Benedicto, who's the liaison, DPA liaison, and then we'll agendize and see what we can do, because my understanding is you are moving more towards benchmark and they have more capabilities in terms of their data sharing abilities and collection abilities. So let's go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not done. Sorry.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
If I could have use of the overhead.
Oh, no. We have props now?
I mean, this is modern technology.
You go first
here.
And you have?
This is where I wanted to go, because I wanted to do the stuff. So I just wanted to announce that Steve Flaherty, well, he also demanded that I put this picture up and show
it during police commission.
He demanded that this be presented because he wanted to be on SFGov TV and he wanted people to see the award that he won. So I am announcing that he won the 2024 Distinguished Knighton Award from the Association of Local Government Auditors for his audit with DPA on SFDPA stop data.
That's great. That's awesome. Not only is this an additional, because you data award winning, multiple award winning. How many awards is this for you?
Well, so glad you asked, because that's the next line. this is DPA's third consecutive Knighton Award and the fourth in 5 years that we have won for the work. It really is a sign of the excellence. It's a national award. It's a sign of excellence in terms of how detailed, how accurate these awards can be. I actually, as a favor, he let me stand in the picture because he demanded the picture be by himself originally, and I asked to just touch it. It's in our office whenever you guys want to come by and see.
Disappointed you didn't bring it.
The judges this year found the audit to be well executed and impactful, and if implemented effectively, see how I paused there? If implemented effectively, has the potential to enhance data integrity, transparency, and accountability within the department. Steve will accept the award at the 2025 ALGA Annual Conference, which is being held in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If commissioners are interested in attending, my understanding is that that goes on the department's budget. And so you are all welcome to attend. And I heard that there's a tour of Prince's House. So just leaving that with you there.
So wait a minute. Is this you pre-gaming your photo?
Well, I knew that he wouldn't.
The ceremony hasn't even happened yet?
I knew he wouldn't let me take a picture with him or with it afterwards. So we took an old one. A few months ago before, I knew how much attention the stop data audit was getting. I had a feeling that it would lead to this moment. He probably doesn't remember, but he remembers now taking that picture. and like I said, he demanded that it be shown during commission tonight.
Sure.
And he wanted to be here to celebrate so we could all clap and give him glory and honor. But he's having his own celebration.
I'm sure. Well, tell him congratulations.
In mortification right now.
I'm sure.
I also want to say that we attended the drone as first responder training, DPA did, and learned about the drone pilot program, future use cases, and we will be folding that footage into our investigations moving forward. The department looks forward to future meetings with the team as they expand their capacity in this area. And I'm only talking about it because it will be part of the investigations that are going through and part of DPA moving forward. Also, our intern cohort met with the crisis team intervention team to learn about that program in collaboration with the other city partners and external stakeholders. I will say that intern cohort team is here tonight, this evening. They've come to join us. And if you guys don't mind standing, they're all together back here. This is Adrian Garcia, who is a recent graduate of San Jose State University. Lauren Kuo, who is at UC Berkeley, pursuing a degree in legal studies. And Carmen Singh.
You all clapped, but that was a pregnant pause because I was going to tell you that Carmen goes to UCLA. Woo! And she's a Bruin, and we know that's actually the best school in the nation. And so we're really excited for you to get into that very prestigious school where only our finest and best go and graduate and move on to become top leaders in this nation. Go Bruins. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming. After their rigorous confidentiality protocol, and I do mean rigorous, I'm not kidding, their projects include summarizing body-worn camera videos, drafting summary reports, and conducting policy research, as well as attending meetings with the department and the community. And so they are here with us tonight for police commission. In terms of the stats, between this and last week, the investigation unit opened 15 new cases and closed 9 cases since the last commission meeting. The top allegation for the department this week was for failures to take required action. We currently have 15 investigations that have been open for more than 270 days, and of those 15, 14 of them are told cases. The one case that is not told is already finished and being finalized to be sent to the department by the end of this week. And in that case, the 3304 date is June 21st, but it will be closed this week. There are currently still 93 DPA cases that are pending with the chief's office and 2 cases that are pending with the police commission. We have no items in closed session today. Our senior investigator, Candace Carpenter, is here in case there are issues that come up during the hearing to be addressed. And if the public has information that needs to be addressed from DPA, they can contact us at sfgov.org/DPA or contact us at 415-241-7711. That concludes my remarks, and we have an agenda item for Sparks Report, which will be handled by our Director of Policy, Jermaine Jones. That concludes my report.
Well, thank you, Director Henderson. We're never letting you go again first. But secondly, and more importantly, I do want to congratulate Steve Flaherty on this award. Having been on the commission since 2018, I have seen the development of your reports, the clarity, the readability, and the ease in which you lay out the information and the way that you're able to digest it has so tremendously improved. And I think that especially with the audits that you do, which are always hard to understand and digest, he's done a phenomenal job of making sure that the data reporting is accurate instead of sort of fudging numbers, and he really gets into the audit and explains it and lays it out in a way that anyone who picks up a report can just take it, learn what the information is about, and really digest it. So congratulations to him and the team on this award, because I think that it's so righteously deserved. And welcome as a fellow Cal alum. I also would like to contest Director Henderson's assertion that UCLA is the best school, but we can have that discussion later. So
there are a number of us Cal people here sitting here.
Exactly.
So you see where he's at.
Well, if you don't get into UCLA, you got to go somewhere.
That's why we put him at the end, if you don't notice. But that's okay. We are glad that you are here. Welcome. We appreciate all of the work. And will they be providing us a report at the end of the term? Or
they absolutely will. Okay. And just to comment on the thing that you were referencing with Steve's ability to make things palatable, he is now also reviewing our annual reports to see if they can be elevated in some of those same ways as well. But we'll see what kind of differences and change you see in the next reports that you'll see coming from DPA.
Amazing. So I'm not going to put you all on the spot tonight, but when you do come back to report to us, be prepared, because we will definitely have questions about all the work you've done at DPA, and we can't wait to hear all about it. So not to ruin the surprise, hope I didn't ruin the surprise, that you will be reporting to us regarding the work you do.
You just scared them all.
No. If you haven't scared them off yet, I doubt whatever is going to do anything. So, Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you so much, President Elias. Thank you for that report, Director Henderson. Congratulations to DPA and to Director Flaherty on yet another Knighton Award. you know, while I was talking to Director Henderson before this, and I know it's the last thing he wants, I would like to invite Director Flaherty to come before the commission and get recognition as well, in person soon for this work. Director, you, as the DPA audit liaison, I work closely with Director Flaherty, and my fellow commissioners might hear me sometimes misspeak and say the DPA audit team, it is just Steve Flaherty, and he does the work of an entire team and does it with such tremendous success. And it's getting worthy recognition for the team and for the department. I do want to note that for this Knighton Award, this is not one of the scheduled audits. So on top of the scheduled audit work the DPA does, which is already a tremendous number of audits, you know, four or five scheduled required audits by charter or by commission resolution, this was an unscheduled audit. It was done out of band of the regular time. It took on additional resources, and yet it was still done so well that it won a Knighton Award. Like Director Henderson said, now it's incumbent on all of us in the department to implement it. And last week, the chief recommitted to the quarterly update and to the implementation of this audit, which I think is good. I also want to acknowledge our former Commission Vice President, Carter Oberstone, who pushed for this audit to be started in the first place. And now here we are with it receiving an award as well. So thank you for that. Another thing related to the DPA report that I think I neglected to mention last week was in my regular check-in with Director Flaherty. He mentioned that the Comptroller's Office, who often provides invaluable assistance with the audits, has indicated it might have additional bandwidth, which is or is willing to part with additional bandwidth, which, as the experienced commissioners will know, is very rare. We usually have to beg and barter and steal for every moment we can get from the controller's time. And so the fact that there's additional time that Director Flaherty and I are discussing ways that can be done, used well. I think one of the plans is to provide some updates on pending recommendations of past audits. I know a lot of commissioners often ask, what's happened to this audit issued a year ago and the status of those recommendations, because the additional bandwidth is not sufficient to do an additional unscheduled audit. I think a really good use of that time will be to revisit recommendations from past audits that are not final. So you'll be hearing more about that in the coming months as well.
That's amazing, because aren't there also DOJ audits that were recommended but haven't been implemented as well?
I think there are still some outstanding audits from the DOJ recommendations. I'm looking forward to this commission implementing that. I want to echo President Elias's welcome to the interns. I went to UC San Diego, so just want to shout out the University of California system broadly as the finest public education system in the country. And I do want to say we really look forward to your presentation. I think every presentation that the DPA interns have done in the last few years has led to a concrete policy proposal, and at least two have been passed by the commission. So no pressure. But the work you're doing, it isn't pretend. It isn't for show. It is the real recommendations that this commission undertakes. And another thing I'll share, I was talking to Commissioner Clay just before. I was only a year out of law school the first time I presented before the commission related to the Blue Ribbon panel, and now I find myself here. So the work you're doing is significant, and it is important, and thank you for spending your time in this service.
That's all. You're supposed to inspire them, not tell them this is where you end up.
A little bit of both.
Commissioner Clay.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. So Director Henderson, and I talked to Steve Flaherty, is really his abilities to comprehend that stuff and give it to you, sit down, within 20 minutes, I had everything I needed to know, the substance, the history, and how to get to it and understand it. So my question is, I mean, he's done such a great job, he has won these awards over the years, and there's other people doing the type of work that you're doing or trying to do it across the country.
Yeah.
Have you guys marketed your expertise and gave for these different organizations to use you as sort of a guidance on trying to upstart their process and for their organization? Because it's absolutely valuable.
They do use that, and I get contacted regularly from different agencies that use our audits to inform their work. It's a different thing. Audits are such a refined science that have to be followed exactly. It's not a report. It's not.
Oh, I get that. I'm saying the fact that you set down a framework to teach them, this is how you go about doing an audit. Here's the framework. You may have something in your county, your state, but to go about it systematically, this is what you need to do. And then you do it within whatever your guidelines is, but this is how we approach it. The approach to doing it.
In the past, when I've done that, the other agencies are intimidated by the regulated precision and everything that needs to be done in order to do an audit. You literally need statisticians. You literally need auditors. You literally need experienced folks, it's not something that you can, and this is what I learned about audits too, when the legislation changed and we were given expanded jurisdiction to do audits, I really did not know that it was more than just a really, really good report, that what goes behind it is having information triple checked and having outside agencies validate your findings and having ongoing interactions with the department or the subject of what you're doing. It's a lot.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying this is just sort of a guideline getting people started. They may intimidate, may not do it. But, hey, we got a service. Here it is. If you want to come and engage, come see us. Yep. We set it up. And then if you want to do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. But this is what we do to get to where we got, to get these awards, Gus. This is who we are. And this is how you start.
Yeah.
And I just am wondering if that's something you thought about marketing yourself as an organization and nationally.
We present it regularly. Anytime that we have a presence in CCOA, which is the California Civilian Oversight Association, which is every oversight agency in the state. Every big meeting that we have references and goes through audit, as well as NACOL. This year, NACOL is going to, we're in negotiations for NACOL, in large part because of the audit, to have a regional meeting in California and in San Francisco, where the audit, again, will be front and center. That's the long way of saying yes. We do present it as often as we can, and as those of you that have been in DPA recently know, I try to keep all the audit, most of the awards around so people can see them in all their glory in case people forget that we are award-winning for these. For
Director Anderson, can you specify what NACOL is so our newer commissioners might hear what and DPA's participation in NACOL?
It's the National Association of Civilian Oversight for Law Enforcement. And they are the national organization that drives the train that every civilian oversight agency is under the umbrella of. There's many, many ways of doing civilian oversight, from volunteers to assigned tasks to lawyers to retired officers or associated officers with, inclusive of, and exclusive of law enforcement. And so that's the big umbrella that we all are under and work under.
Thank you. Sergeant?
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 5, the DPA director's report, please approach the podium. And there is no public comment. Line item 4, chief's report, discussion, weekly crime trends and public safety concerns. Provide an overview of offenses, incidents, or events occurring in San Francisco having an impact on public safety. Chief Scott.
Thank you, Sergeant Youngblood. Good evening, President Elias, commissioners, and Executive Director Henderson, and the public. Mm-hmm. I'll start this week's off with our overall crime trends, just at a high level. Our total Part 1 crimes are down 30%. That's a difference of almost exactly 4,000 fewer crimes than this time last year. The breakdown between violent and property, violent is down 16%. That's about a 202 fewer crimes than last year, and property is down 32%, which is 2,800 fewer than last year. And just to highlight kind of what's been driving a lot of this work, we believe. I talked about this last week, but today we did a press conference to tell the public kind of how our initiative with our real-time investigation center is going. And those officers, those analysts who work that center, and in collaboration with patrol, and we had our CSI team here today, at least some of them, our investigators, our tactical team, there's been really some phenomenal work happening. The RTIC is responsible for over 500 arrests since we stood it up around this time last year. Actually, it was about March or April of 2024 when we stood up the RTIC. It's not, it's been described as a Spartan facility, but it's growing, and we have our analysts there, and they're able to basically in real time, because of the technology advancements over the past year, call out crimes as they are occurring and direct resources to those particular incidents. And that's been really, really a game changer for us. As I said, there's 500 plus arrests. of those 500 arrests, just to break down for some highlights here, 207 of them were because of our ability to use the Flock network with the ALPR, or automated license plate reader technology. 43 arrests were the result of using our UASs or our drones. There were 166 stolen vehicle arrests, 80 robbery arrests, and more. So the bottom line on this is, as I talked about last week, our case resolutions have improved, and in some cases significantly. And this is because not only of the technology, but the people doing the work. So I just want to highlight that. The leadership with Acting Captain Tom McGuire and all of our lieutenants that are involved in this work, including Lieutenant Dave Goff of our plainclothes detail, Captain Steve Jonas. I mean, there are too many names to mention, but just some really, really good work being done. So I want to congratulate our folks for that work and really highlight the significance of this work, because it is really historic with the drops in crime that we're seeing. And hopefully this is just the beginning, as I said today. So that's an overview of crime. This week is National Crime Victims' Rights Week, which takes place every year from April 6th to April 12th. This year's theme is Kinship, Connecting, and Healing. We actually sought out a grant and were approved for a grant from the National Association of Victims Assistance in cooperation with the U.S. Office of Justice Programs. So we received a grant to put on basically a victim's rights ceremony yesterday. And we've done this for a couple of years now, several years now, but we invited survivors and their families, particularly survivors of violent crime. This happened yesterday at Golden Gate Park at the Music Concourse. There were speakers, including a Mayor Daniel Lurie. We did this, the police department, in collaboration with the district attorney's office and district attorney Brooke Jenkins. It was a very, very nice program. Families were there. We did a walk. Commissioner Scott was there with his. Commissioner Yee was there. Commissioner Leong was there. And we culminated the program with a walk around the Music Concourse. And we had a tree planting ceremony. And very symbolic, but, you know, as Director Phil Ginsburg from Reckon Park said, this tree was really a symbol of, although many people there have lost their loved ones, this tree was symbolic of life. And it was a very nice, fitting tribute to the families and the survivors. So I just want to thank everybody and on our team, our staff, including our community engagement division and the people in the chief's office who help put this together, and also the district attorney and her team. So it was a very good program yesterday. And just a few other highlights. In terms of major incidents, it was actually a pretty quiet week. We had a number of really good arrests, robberies, stolen cars, and the like. So I won't read each one of those, but ultimately it was a pretty quiet week. And I'll end with this, you know, in terms of our homicides, and it's early in the year, so this is not a proclamation of victory, anything like that. But I will note that year to date, we're at 4 homicides this time last year. And last year was an historic low, 60 plus year low. We were at 9. At the pace we're going, it can be another historic year. So our clearance rate is 125%. They just made an arrest yesterday, our homicide unit, on a case from a year or two ago. And several more really good investigations that are happening that will improve that clearance rate even higher. So I just want to highlight all the good work that's being done by SFPD members, and both sworn and non-sworn, and in conjunction with the community. So that is my report for the week.
Commissioner Scott.
Yes, I just want to commend your Chief Scott and everyone that was involved in yesterday's Victims of Crime Week event. We've been doing it, as Chief said, over the years. I've been part of it, and so have the survivors of violence as well as been part of that. It's very important to acknowledge that week and to see our city leaders there, our mayor, all our law enforcement staff there, the district attorney, Gina, Dr. Gina Castro, giving her report, and then to hear from the victims themselves. Very powerful. Had a mother there who I commended her because she's been just eight months to losing her son to gun violence. And she felt very supportive and very rewarded what happened yesterday. She said she couldn't get out of bed, and I could understand that because I told her I commended her because I couldn't do it the first 3 years. It was horrible. So I just want to commend you, our mayor, and everyone who was there, all of our commissioners, for the support that you gave yesterday, because it's crucial. And it's so powerful to see that our city is, we're not where we want to be, but we're not where we used to be. We've come down, you know, crime has gone down, and that's because of the leadership here in this commission, the leadership in our city, and law enforcement and the communities working together, so important. And so I just want to, again, commend you, Chief Scott, for a job well done, and everybody who was involved and participated is bridging the gaps that we've had, you know, open for so long between communities and police officers. These kind of events and what we're doing in the city is crucial, and that's bringing everybody at the table, you know, and everybody having a voice. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Yee. Thank you very much there, President Cindy Elias. Also want to commend you, Commissioner Maddie Scott, for your courage in speaking out for many of the parents that were there and some of the pain they go through. And thank you that, you know, for your voice for them too as well. And thank you, Chief, and also the district attorney hosting that event. Pretty moving. So thank you, everybody, for showing up. Also, I want to just reflect on your report, Chief. Looking at the motor vehicle theft in San Francisco, it's dropped about, on the records, 42%. That's outstanding, and that's, I guess, for insurance purpose, does that mean our insurance should be lower? You know, this is a thought on there, so the insurance company do not continue to raise our rates in San Francisco. So you're a factor to that, so thank you, and continue the good work there. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Sergeant.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 4, the Chief's report, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. Line item 6, Commission reports, discussion and possible action. Commission reports will be limited to a brief description of activities and announcements. Commission President's report, Commissioner's reports, and Commission announcements and scheduling of items identified for consideration at a future Commission meeting.
Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you, President Elias. Just a few things for my report. Two updates on DGOs, Department General Order 6.16 on sexual assaults, for which I was the assigned commissioner, has now entered the public comment phase. That notification went out to the working groups. I want to thank the policy development team and particularly Hitesh Bussey, who coordinates the working groups. That was a very productive working group. I see Ms. Deves here from PDD as well. Thank you for the assistance on that. Looking forward to that going through the public comment phase and coming before this commission. Second, last week I provided an update on DGO 7.01, and I think, Chief, we discussed that you would be able to send a draft that would sort of incorporate what the current recommendation grid looked like by the end of this week. I just wanted to see if that timing still looked on track.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I know the community groups, and I will be appreciative of that. As a reminder, we're still taking comment on the district boundaries project. No action can be taken on that until May 20th, and in the meantime, the commission will calendar that for further presentations. So reminding my fellow commissioners, if you have any questions that Director McGuire can answer about that project, you can submit them directly to her or submit them to me, and I'll be sure that she includes those answers. I know there was at least one question about overlaying the maps with calls for service, and I think she's taken that. I can't remember which commissioner raised that. It might have been Commissioner Yee, but that's included in her supplemental presentation, so that will be there as well. and a reminder to members of the public that I, the department and myself are available to meet with anyone who has questions or feedback on the district boundary map. And that concludes my report.
Sergeant?
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding commission reports, please approach the podium. And there is no public comment. Line item 7, presentation and discussion on SFPD and DPA's SPARKS reports, fourth quarter 2024 and first quarter 2025 discussion.
All right. Good evening, President Elias, Commissioners, Chief Scott, Director Jones. I'm Chris Delgandio. I'm the Commanding Officer of the Policy Development Division, and I'm here to present the SPARKS report. We submitted both quarter four 2024 and quarter one 2025 quarterly reports. So these reports will provide policy updates between October 1st of 2024 and March 31st of 2025. As you know, SPARKS quarterly reports are mandated by the Police Commission via Resolution 27-06. Our fourth quarter 2024 report provides 18 updates on DGOs under development, 24 department notices, and an update on working group activity for two of the DGOs. Our quarter one 2025 report provides 21 updates on DGOs under development, 29 DNs, and an update on working group activity on one DGO and two working groups in the pipeline for this year. Just a quick note, the priority key was updated in the quarter one 2025 report to clarify the language in high and medium priority categories, which you'll see in the report. A fun fact that President Elias would like, 8 of the 15 DGOs on the 2025 annual review list are from the 90s. That means there are 15 DGOs that remain from the 90s. We're looking to possibly rescind a few, for example, use of cellular telephones. If you read that, it brings you back to the day when cellular telephones first came out. And the rest will be on the 2026 review list proposal. Our goal is to update all the DGOs from the 90s by the end of 2026.
We can sneak a few in?
We might be able to, just right? For you. a couple updates that occurred after the close of last quarter. As Commissioner Benedicto said, DGO 6.16 sexual assault investigations was posted today for public comment. And we also closed concurrence on DGO 3.02 terms and definitions last Friday. And our next step is to prepare those for commission submission. DGO 8.09 media services is scheduled for its first concurrence meeting on April 18th. So that'll be coming to the commission soon. And I'm happy to take any questions after Director Jones presents his report.
Thank you, Captain. Hi, Chief, President Elias, and Commissioners. Welcome to the new Commissioners. I'm Jermaine Jones, the Policy Director for DPA. I'm just going to give a brief overview of the work that I've done over the last two quarters. With the new timelines for DGO development, it's really helped with prioritizing our work. So the fourth quarter started with the end of last year's DGO timeline. It gave me time to sit down and kind of plan out work for 2025. The majority of the work in quarter four included the DGO 5.20 language access working group, and then quarter one was the sexual assault working group, which Commissioner Benedicto mentioned just closed. Then completed a few DOJ trainings on emerging issues in policing. One course that was pretty informative for our work is best practices course on individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So we're doing a review of SFPD's ADA compliance at the moment, and one of our interns, Adrian, here is helping me with that work. Some of the other work this quarter, or the past two quarters, included policy failures. There were three cases closed as policy failures. One involved a conflict of interest case, and our office wrote some additional guidance for DGO 2.01 when that reopens that just explains what officers should do when they encounter a conflict of interest. We had a case about a sexual assault warrant, which was not served And so we made a recommendation that provides more guidance on when the fugitive recovery team prioritizes warrants. And then finally, we had a missing persons case. If you remember my last few Sparks reports, missing persons has been a high priority issue for us. I issued a report, I believe it was the second quarter of 2024, on missing persons. That had about 27 recommendations. The department incorporated the recommendations into the DGO that was then updated. So this case was closed as a policy failure because the policy was in development while the issue was being investigated. For 2025, we're currently focusing on the upcoming working groups. That includes deaf and hard of hearing and domestic violence. And two of our interns here are helping to conduct research and preparing for working groups. Some of that has included visiting divisions in the department that have been highlighted before this commission for having exceptional community outreach and engagement. So yesterday we visited the CIT unit, Crisis Intervention Team, which you're all very familiar with. We also visited the real-time crime center that the chief mentioned. Got a little update on the drone program, specifically drone as first responder, which is separate from how a lot of other departments are using drones, and we find it very interesting and innovative. So we're excited to continue talking with them. And later this week, we'll be visiting the CMCR training at the range and just exposing them to more of what's going on in the police department. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. And just to remind the commissioners, if there are any DGOs on the list in the Sparks report, or that you see that you are interested in, you can always assign yourself to help shepherd these through. We begin the practice of assigning DGOs to commissioners to help shepherd these DGOs through and make sure that they don't get stuck or lost at sea, as they sometimes do, because I think the department has a lot of DGOs that it works on, and sometimes you know, they're at max capacity. But I think when commissioners are involved and help move it along, it does seem to go by faster. So we have the list, so please feel free to sign up. Otherwise, you will be picked.
I thought you had already done that, Madam
President. Most of them I did, but if there are other ones that you see that like are from the 90s that you want to move ahead, because I know that the department had committed to a certain number, but I think that if a commissioner maybe has a passion for getting another one added to the list, I'm sure the department would be happy to accommodate a commissioner's request. So don't jump up all at once, but I'll give you time to mull it over and then get back to us. Chief, is there anything else you wanted to comment on? Or
no, President.
Yeah, you're like, no, because I don't want you to assign more stuff. Okay, got it. Thank you for your presentation. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Sergeant.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 7, the Sparks report, please approach the podium. There's no public comment. Line item 8, discussion and presentation on the department's AB 481 2024 annual report and related community engagement pursuant to Government Code 7072B. Discussion.
Good evening, President Elias, commissioners, Director Jones, Chief Scott, members of the community. I'm joined by Stephen Lopez, senior legislative liaison.
Yep.
Yeah, say that a couple times. He went to San Francisco State University, since we had the whole college things. Yes, just want to throw it out there. And I'll be presenting on our 2024 AB 481 report. And some of your commissioners might be familiar with this, since I probably just presented on this about 6-8 months ago.
Hello, President Elias, commissioners, Director Jones, and of course, Chief Scott. My name is Stephen Lopez. I'm the senior legislative liaison. I work for Director Diana Roach. And yeah, we put this report together I will have to shout out Carl Nasita from the department, who also did a lot of love work putting this report together, and pretty happy with the results. So here's our presentation.
Thank you. We appreciate it and look forward to it. And it's Dr. Olivia Roche, right?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
That's okay.
And what school?
Oh.
All right. There you go. All right. So the annual report requirement mandates that the SFPD reports the following regarding the use of military-grade equipment. The report requires that we summarize how the equipment was used and its purpose, any complaints or concerns regarding the equipment, any violations of equipment use policy, the report total annual cost of each equipment item, and then announce the quantity we possess, and then the intention to acquire additional items. Also, we're mandated to hold community meetings regarding the report, and I think last year the chief moved in a positive direction where we go to multiple stations for community meetings and outreach on the report. And this year we went to seven stations, and they're listed in the slide there. During the community meetings, most of the questions regard automatic weapons. Drones obviously were a hot topic for all the meetings, and then copies of the report were provided during all the meetings. I'm just going to briefly go over the report, which is attached, and you have a copy of it, but we currently have 17 unmanned remote ground vehicles, little throwbots, and those are the ones we used 40 times, mostly for search warrants or critical incidents. So they're basically a small robot that just traverses the ground and gives us a better idea what's inside. And it's more of a de-escalation tool to allow us to figure out where the person is and what we need, next steps we need to make. Next, it's mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, MRAP, or armored personnel carriers. We don't have an MRAP, but we do have a Bearcat, which is an armored vehicle, and we use that at search warrants and high-risk critical incidents, and we used it 42 times last year. You can see the annual cost is listed in the report and listed on all these items, and that cost was minimal for this item. It was mostly gas. And it also notes that we intend to purchase another one if possible, fiscally possible. And all the items that if we add to the report, it's only if it's fiscally possible. It's like a wish list, right? If it's not feasible, but we put it on the report in the hopes that we can get additional equipment. And then command and control vehicles. You guys have all seen the command and control vehicles. If you've been down to Union Square, 16th and Mission, parades, Lunar New Year, they're also deployed at critical incidents, officer-involved shootings, and in community outreach areas, Union Square and Market Street are two of the locations. And then I'm mentioning no complaints on the previous items. I just wanted to clarify that. So complaints, there haven't been any complaints on the use of any of the items I mentioned here. Next time is battering ram, slugs, breaching apparatus that are explosive in nature. And once again, these are used high-risk tactical operations and search warrants to breach the door. They show a picture on this slide here. It's a KBT is the first item, a kinetic breaching tool, and then ballistic slugs for the shotguns there. And the report delineates the use of those items in more detail. And then flashbangs, tear gas, explosive breaching tools, and pepper balls. Pepper balls are a good tool that we've used this year, but it allows us a little bit more time and distance because they can be deployed at a greater distance. I'm going a little off schedule here, but just to give you an idea, an officer with just like a pepper spray in their hand, he's got to be fairly close. The pepper ball allows them to be 100 feet away, 150 feet away. So it gives time and distance and allows the chemical agent to take effect and the officers to formulate a better plan. So flashbangs, we have used 38 times during high-risk tactical operations and high-risk search warrants. And I know there's always a question about flashbangs. Most of the deployment for flashbangs at search warrants are at the exterior of the house. It's more of like, hey, we're out here, San Francisco Police Department, come to the front, come out, surrender. It's not thrown into the residence without knowing what the risks are, children, elderly. So that's just, those are all taken into consideration. So most of the deployments are exterior deployments on the outside of residence. We'll go taser, shockwave, microwave weapons, long-range acoustic devices. We have an LRAD, which just stands for long-range acoustic device. It's basically a loud speaker. We used it 37 times. We used it 4th of July to disperse fireworks rowdy groups, lighting off fireworks in the Mission. We use it at search warrants, and we did purchase one more this year. We had seen a rise in demonstrations, so it was a need that we needed to get another one. We had APEC. That's when it really showed that we needed another LRAD, and we'll be seeking another one of those hopefully next year. And then we've got specialized firearms, ammunition, assault weapons. We have 16 submachine guns, 230 semi-automatic rifles, and 64 full automatic short barrel rifles. After public input last year, we added the 230 semi-automatic rifles. They're patrol issue, but we just felt that because of the public interest, we would list that on the report. It's not mandated if it's a standardized issue weapon, but just because it came up in last year's report, we felt it was prudent to issue. And on note, a semi-automatic rifle was used in an officer-involved shooting that resulted in the death of a suspect last year, and this triggered a multi-department investigation as required. There were no complaints, concerns, or violations of the use of the received last year regarding this. And we'll go to projectile launcher, 40-millimeter beanbag, rubber bullets, and specialty ammunition. We have 90 40-millimeter launchers, and they deploy various types of munitions. We utilized it 58 times during critical incidents, high-risk tactical operations, and service of search warrants. And much like the explanation I gave you for flashbangs, this is a targeted deployment with obviously concerns for injury at the highest level. So they're not just blindly deploying these 40-millimeter launchers. Everything is planned out and meant to elicit a response that will de-escalate the incident. And they do intend to purchase additional 40-millimeter launchers in the coming year. And then we've got everyone's favorite here, 63 drones with, we lease 7 of them. They're all listed here. The Skydio 10 are the larger drones. We deployed them 350 times, and that includes criminal investigations, critical incidents, planned operations, and training sessions. And then anyone interested in seeing our deployment log, it's listed on SFPD's website. So it lists if it was training, or it lists if it was deployed for a critical incident. And we are seeking to acquire additional 24 drones. The cost was $428,997 from last year. And then we don't have some items that are reportable items for AB 481, and we don't have a tracked armored vehicle. We don't have weaponized aircraft. We don't have 50 caliber or higher firearms, and we don't have a firearm designed to launch explosive projectiles. Sorry, I went on a little bit longer there and rambled a bit, but I was hoping to alleviate any questions. But I know there will be some. So
I was about to say, not to ruin the surprise, because Commissioner Benedicto has some. But it is a good report, because I think this was an issue that we, when it first appeared before us, there was not a lot of background information that was being provided, and there were concerns about violating the statute with respect to how this was being reported and what was happening. So I'm glad to see that there's more information. Commissioner Benedicto?
Thank you. And yes, absolutely. Thank you. That was very helpful. In particular, I was happy to hear that additional community events were and outreach was held, which has been a persistent request of the Commission for the AB 481 report. So thank you for that. Just a couple of questions. One is, so is it the case now that all the drones that SFPD uses are disclosed under AB 481?
Yeah.
And I know there's been some discussion with the chief, when particularly with respect to vehicle pursuits about the Star Chase or similar technology. I don't know if that would be a 481 reportable item, but I wonder if that if this would be a place to see if there's an update on the deployment of that tool.
We are piloting it. It's a limited pilot. I know we've used it. I don't have the. I can follow up with you with the number of times we've used it, but for the public, the Star Chase tool is basically a propelled tracking device that it's fired from basically like a beanbag type of shotgun type of armament, and it attaches to the car, and it really the purpose is so officers can track the car and back off and not mitigate some of the pursuit risks. It's been around for several years now. It's our first couple of months actually piloting this equipment. So we'll follow up with the results. It's been used on a limited basis because I think only one unit, I believe, is actually using this. It's not department-wide. So we want to test it and see if it's as advertised, and then we'll report back. And if it is as advertised, it'll be a good tool for us.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, I just have a brief question. The report itself, has it been posted?
Yeah, it's posted on the department website. You can just type in the search feature AB 481, and the report pops up.
And when was it posted?
It was posted in January of 2025.
Okay, so today is April the 9th.
Correct.
So I remember when I first came on this commission, there was all this commotion about this report and where was it. But you met the deadline. You posted it. It's clear, concise, and it provides a lot of information. And to this day, I haven't had one email telling me, ask me about this report, where is it? I'm not getting any information. So I want to commend you all for getting it done. Well, you're all collective together. You work together, but absolutely, for doing it and getting it done and not having one person, at least to me, and I get these emails, to come in and say, we haven't gotten this report. What are you going to do about it? And it's refreshing. It's refreshing. And the turmoil that I saw when I first got here, it's gone in that sense. And you guys just keep doing your job, and everything's going to be fine. But if you don't, then we'll check you on it. But
thank you,
just keep doing what you're doing. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
What was the feedback from the community when you added these additional community meetings?
The question on the drones were brought up on pursuits and sideshows. They had a lot of questions about capabilities of the drones. There wasn't a lot of questions about invasion of privacy, which I thought there might be, but mostly about drone capability and how can we get more drone operators. Drone operators take a lot of time to train, right? There's a licensing process. They're from the FAA.
Right, the
there's
Federal
a test.
Aviation.
There's
right.
You know, it's a lot of studying. So if you're a UCLA graduate, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know,
if you're a Cal graduate, maybe.
San Francisco State, it might be tougher. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that your report or your ability to report is better having had more community meetings?
It definitely affected how we report we added the rifles, I think, just to alleviate any concern. I think this is a work in progress. I think every year will get easier. We're not at the level of getting awards for statistical analysis yet, but we're working towards it, baby steps.
Next year we'll see you post pictures where you force your employees to take pictures with you and hold up awards.
Yeah, but we'll make up an award and we'll post it.
Yeah. I'm sure. Good. That's great. All right, Commissioner Yee.
Thank you very much there, President Cindy Elias. Just want to ask you, I guess I got a couple questions. One is your Bearcat. I guess your annual maintenance is $260. And then you, I guess, deploy it 42 times in 2024. So that's pretty cost-saving, I guess, a vehicle that's getting out there.
It is. I would assume that's mostly gas since it's not really fuel efficient. But it is an older vehicle, and it will require maintenance, so I don't anticipate it staying that low. I think it might be a 2004.
As long as it does the job. I guess my next question is the same thing with the President Cindy Elias's amount of operators for the drone. Currently, how many do you have, and how many do you plan to get?
I know the department put out a department notice looking for full-time drone operators, 15, but as the chief will, you guys talk about it too, every time staffing levels needs, so it might not be full-time drone operators, it might be collateral assignments. They're trying to get as many can get trained up, but like I said, you take a FAA 107 license, you go through I think a 30-hour post course, then you go through another internal training, and then it would be a yearly training also, and then every 2 years you would recertify for the FAA 107. So it'd be great if everyone was a 107 pilot, but it's just too much for us to overcome right now. So
again, how many operators?
I don't have a number for the number of pilots. Maybe Chief.
At, I think the number was 48 go through the training. We already had somewhere around 20, I believe, before that. But there was a huge interest, hundreds of officers who inquired about the training. And really the strategy was starting with the officers who already had the license that Captain Ahern talked about. So as we build the program, now that we have the drones in every station, we have pilots in every station. So every one of the 10 district stations has, I think, at least two pilots in it. And then, as he said, ideally we'd be in a position where the drones are called the Phoenix units. The Phoenix units are dedicated to just that mission, but we're having to kind of do a hybrid right now to get it started. So patrol officers will do patrol, and then they get called away if they have a drone mission. So, but eventually we'll get to where we want to get to.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chief, and thank you for the report. I heard a lot of officers trying to get into this drone class, so that's a hot item. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sergeant? Thanks.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 8, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. Line item 9, public comment on all matters pertaining to item 11 below closed session, including public comment on item 10, a vote whether to hold item 11 in closed session. If you'd like to make public comment, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. Line item 10, a vote on whether to hold item 11 in closed session, San Francisco Administrative Code section 67.10D, action.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, on the motion, Commissioner Scott, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott is yes. Commissioner Leung?
Yay.
Commissioner Leung is yes. Commissioner Clay?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. And President Elias?
Yes.
President Lyons says yes. You have 6 yeses. We will go into closed session.
SFGovTV, San Francisco Government Television.
All right, commissioners, we are back in open session on line item 12. Vote to elect whether to disclose any or all discussion on item 11 held in closed session. San Francisco Administrative Code section 67.12A. Action.
Motion to not disclose closed session.
Second.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 12, please approach the podium. Seeing none, on the motion, Commissioner Scott, how do you vote? Commissioner Scott is yes. Commissioner Leung?
Yes.
Commissioner Leung is yes. Commissioner Clay?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. President Elias?
Yes.
President Elias is yes. You have six yeses. Line item 13, adjournment.
There you go.
Go Warriors.